Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Maseches Yevamos Daf Gimel. We are holding five lines from the top of the Amud. We're actually in the midst of a discussion regarding the Mishnah. You see, the Mishnah began with the following sentence. Chamesh Esrei Nashim, the following 15 Arayus, who happened to be married to his brother, his departed brother, the one who passed away without children. So now Shimon, the surviving brother, is meant to be the Yavam. Typically, he's meant to marry Reuven's wife, who is now the Yavama. But if she happens to be Asur on Shimon, for a different reason altogether, Reuven, his departed brother, happened to be married to Shimon, his brother with whom he shares a father, happened to be married to Shimon's daughter, which is fine. Now Reuven passes away. Shimon's wife, Shimon's surviving wife, the Yavama, has a problem. She can't marry Shimon. She's his daughter. She's his mother-in-law. Or one of the other 15 arayos. The halacha of Yavam doesn't apply. It only applies strictly to a sister-in-law, the wife of one's departed brother, provided that's all she is. But she's more than that. She happens to be a relative from a different side, for a different reason. A daughter, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, she's an asur on him. Not only is she asur, but she's poitritzer, saying those women will exempt themselves and their tzoris as well, the other wife, the fellow wife, with whom they were together, with whom they were married to Reuven. The tzoris is also exempt from Yibum. So her Isser extends over to the fellow wife as well, and that wife will now in turn affect another Tzara. Should she proceed to marry a different brother, that Tzara is now considered an Erva, because she was affected by the first Erva. It's contained, it just keeps on going, it carries on. V'tzara Tzara Sein, and so on and so forth. Min HaChalitza, Min HaYibam, they're exempt from all the halachas of Yibam, Chalitza and Yibam, Atzev Olam, until the end of the line. Why is a Tzara considered like an Erva? The answer is because once the Erva is Asur Liyibam, so we have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven passed away without children. Reuven was married to Rachel and Leah. Rachel happens to be Shimon's daughter. So Rachel is not fit for Yibam. And since she's in the same household as Leah, the other wife, that Leah is also unfit from Yibam. Yibam applies to the entire household as one. Yibam doesn't apply to one Isha, doesn't apply to the other one. They're both exempt. And now, Leah assumes the status, she reverts to the status of an ordinary, regular sister-in-law. Right? To Shimon, she's just a sister-in-law. After all, that's what Yavama is. She's his brother's wife, which is typically Asur, when she would have children. But since she doesn't have children, there's a special heter, a special exemption to the rule. She's now a Yavama rather than an Erva. But once she becomes Potter from Yavam, why is Leah Potter from Yavam? She's not an Erva to Shimon, because Rachel was an Erva to Shimon. Rachel was Shimon's daughter. And she affects the entire household. There's no Yavam in this household. Now Leah is an ordinary sister-in-law. She's an Erva. So now when she marries a different brother, who happened to have another wife, and that brother passes away, just as Leah is an Erva on Shimon, so is that other woman. So on and so forth. Now, the Gemara was wondering why the Mishnah chose to list all these arayis in the exact order which it chose to do that. Why is Bitei first, etc., etc.? So the Gemara began with Akasha. Really, Achais Isha, his wife's sister, that should be number one. You know why? Because that provides a source for this whole entire concept that an Erva is Pater from Yibam. How do we know that a sister-in-law who happens to be his daughter as well is Pater from Yibam? The Gemara coming up soon, Be'ez Hashem, will tell us. We learn it from Achais Isha, where there's a special pasuk that explains to us that there's no heter by Yibam if she is an Achais Isha. So when the Mishnah is introducing this concept that an Erva cannot be a Yavama, there's no mitzvah even by an Erva, shouldn't we provide the source first? Achais Isha is the source. The Gemara responded, well, we're working with a different set of priorities. Actually, we like to mention first something which was learned from a drasha. Vitoi kivon de asyum drasha chavivale. The entire iser of Bitoi, Rashi says, Bitoi manusasa, a forced relationship, not your typical Bitoi from his wife, but Bitoi manusasa. How do you know that there's an iser? Why is that an erva? We learn it from a drasha, a teresh ba'al peh, something which was introduced by the chacham has special dearness, a product of our effort. Asim drasha chavivale, and that's why Bitoi comes number one. Continues the Gemara five lines from the top. I'll give Mamulat Aleph. Ha ashta de amris. Now that you just told me, kol milsa de asyum medrasha chavivale. Bitoi, since it's learned from a drasha, that has special chavivus. It's especially dear, and that comes first. Listen, lachos isha l'basoif. If so, achos isha, which is really the source material for the concept that an erva is potter from yibum, which is really the topic of the Mishnah, shouldn't that come at the end? That's a pasuk. That's not drasha. Have everything come first. And then achos isha at the end, because everything learns from achos isha. Everything is learned from drasha. That's chavev to us. And then the source material at the end, achos isha, number 15. So we're dealing with two different concepts. The concept of an erva to begin with. And the concept that an erva is potter from yibum. When it comes to the concept of the erva to begin with, Bita is number one because we don't even know she's asr unless we learn it from a drasha. That comes first. At the same time, aren't we discussing the concept of patur yibum by an erva? And in that sense, achos isha is a source. It's beferish in the pasuk. That should come number 15. Because everything else is learned from a drasha. That is a patur yibum by an erva. We learn it from achos isha. So drasha comes before something which was explicitly articulated in the pasuk. And says the Gemara, you're right. The reason why it's not so is because Aidi de Ayri be'isr achvasa. Once the Mishnah speaks about sisters and sisterhoods and achos imoy and achos amei imoy, so we just put in achos ishtoi, which is a matching situation. So the Mishnah speaks about sister-related relationships, and therefore we put achos isha right there. We speak about sisterhood relationship. Tana achos ishtoi. So we put achos ishtoi in there in the list of arayis related to the sister concept. Okay, so let's cut and paste. Let's take the entire clause discussing sisters and put it at the end, so that achos ishtoi ends at the end. Ella says the more you write. Let's leave that whole factor aside. Drasha chavivas, that's not the reason. That's not the basis for the order in the Mishnah. Rather, the Mishnah is following a different order. Ela tana kurvi, kurvi nakat. The ones that are more kariv, that are more personal, relatives which are more personal, they go first. Tana bitoi bas, bitoi bas binoi. So we start with those three. Daughter, daughter's daughter, son's daughter, the Krevi Atzman, because they're his personal relatives. They're closest to him. They're his offspring. So that's the closest Kariv. V'aydid t'tana shleisha deris l'mati didei. And once we discuss three deris of his offspring, so we jump over to her. T'tana nami shleisha deris l'mati dida. Her deris, her offspring, her daughter, her granddaughter, etc. So we adopt the matching system. Once we discussed three Darius coming from her, it jumped above to three Darius above the Isha. So we're speaking about her mother, or her grandmother. So that's how we got to this point. So we used a matching sequence, which of course aids in memory. So that's why we follow this Seder until this point. Okay, let's go further. V'tana achosoi v'achos imay, the krevi atzmei. So once we got past the immediate relatives, offspring, parents, we move on to his sister. Achos imay, his mother's sister, the krevi atzmei, because they're his personal relatives. Although they're a bit removed, they're not his offspring, those parents, but it's still his personal relatives. So it's relatively closer than the ones that are following afterwards. Once we got involved with rights relating to sisters, right? His sister, his mother's sister. So we threw in Tanach, his ishta, we threw in his wife's sister as well. Okay, so that explains the Seder Mishnah. We're going with the levels of closeness. We start with the most personal relatives, and we'll proceed in that order. Ubedinu delikta malakalos. Now, once we got to this point, we're done with personal relatives. Right? Blood relatives are over. Now we're up to relatives via marriage. Daughter-in-law, eshes achav shloye be'lamai, which means a sister-in-law, his brother's wife, who he didn't see. They weren't living at the same time. So here we have an erva, which is marriage-related. We have eshes achav mi'imai, right? His the wife of his brother with whom he shares a mother. Again, it's a marriage-related erva. So these are no longer his blood relatives. So we don't have that factor any longer. So how are we going to space the following relatives? It would seem we should adopt another formula, as Rashi explains. Let's advance the ones that are more severe, more strict, the ones that have a more severe punishment related to them. So in that case, Ubedinu delikta malakalasa, really daughter-in-law should come before Mikami Eishas Achav Shloi Bailami, before the Eishas Achav Shloi Bailami. You know why? Rashi says, because Kalasai has skila involved. So that should come before the other arayis, which have a different penalty. So Kalasai really deserves to be first. The lav mishum kurva hudasira, because we're no longer placing them, we're no longer staggering them based on closeness, because we're not speaking about blood relatives any longer. So we should just go with the level of einish associated with these arayis, and kalasai should come first. Oh, says the Gemara, Ella, I'll tell you the reason. Ella aidi the ayir b'isa achva. See, once we discussed isurim that are related to siblings, we spoke about sister-in-law, isur achva related to siblings. So we carry on, and we go over to Tana Ishas Ochev Shlei Be'lamai, wife of his brother, Shlei Be'lamai, who wasn't in his world, meaning they didn't live together at the same time. He was born after his brother passed away. So that's on the same topic. It's a similar type of erva, something connected to siblings, to brothers, to sisters. So that comes first. And only then, v'hadar tana kalasai, we move on to daughter-in-law, which is really unrelated to sibling relationships. Okay, so now we have a down pact. Initially, the Mishnah followed the Seder of closeness of Kravim, his offspring, her offspring, etc. Well, at the end, we worked with the Isser Achvasa, concluded with Kalasai, which has none of these. It's not his personal relative, it's nothing to do with siblings. So that's the last one on the list. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to focus on that opening statement. Chamesh Esrei Noshim, Poitri Tzirusein, Betzirus Tzirusein, Menachalitza Mayibu. Umayiri the Tana Poitris. Why did the Mishnah choose the Lashon Poitris? Listen to Esrei's. Poitris really can sound, perhaps it can sound like they're potter from Yibu. There's no Chiv, but if you want, you can. Which, of course, is erroneous. It's untrue. Because once a sister-in-law is potter from Yibu, she's a regular Erva. She's a sister-in-law. So that's misleading. The word poitra is misleading. It should have said, listen to Yisrael. She's Aser, and she extends that Issa to her Torah as well. There's Israel involved. And says the Gemara, Itana Yisrael, if the Mishnah would have chose the word Yisrael, Hava Mina, I would think perhaps Aser Le'yabim. She may not. May not what? May not marry. Hava Michlitz Chalitza. But Chalitza, you should do. Well, what's wrong with doing Chalitza? You're not marrying her. Why can't you do chalitza to an erva? So although you can't marry, but chalitza you meant to do, don't let her go without anything. Kamash Malan says the Mishnah Poitres, which means she's not in the parish of Yibim at all, pertaining to Yibim or to chalitza. Okay, so if that's the point, to tell you that she's potter from all the various elements of Yibum, Yibum and Chalitza, and the Mishnah should just say, "Listen, Asur Lachlit, Shikim She May Not Do Chalitza." And once we know she may not do Chalitza, then of course she can't do Yibum, which means actual marriage. So use just simple language, brief, simple language. Why do you say Poitrois Min Chalitza? Just say she's also to have Chalitza, which indicates that she's totally out of the parsha. She may not partake in any procedure related to Yibum, whether it's Chalitza or Yibum. But that doesn't work. Why? Well, it's misleading. Micah of it. How could you say she cannot do Chalitza? What's wrong with doing Chalitza? It's not marriage. So let's say she doesn't have to pull off that shoe and she does it anyway. It's not Isser. How could you say Asura Lachlitz? And therefore, the Mishnah did not pick that Lashon. Alam Aloy says, well, why can't you say Asura Lachlitz? She's not meant to do Chalitza. She may not do Chalitza. You know why? Because if you allow her to do Chalitza, or you require to do Chalitza, you know what can happen next time? Next time, a person will say, well, let's do a Yibum. He won't differentiate. So it is true that an Erva may not do Chalitza to avoid any sort of false impressions here. So Asura Lachlitz is a correct term to use. So why didn't the Mishnah use it? Why did the Mishnah say Poitrus instead of Oisrus? Answers the Gemara. You know why? The Mishnah was trying to make a point. The Mishnah was trying to put into context. You know why the Tzara is rejected from Yibum in this case? It's because she fell, so to speak, together with the Yavam. Their husband passed away. And at that point, they were potential Yivamis, potential candidates for Yibum. And at that point, since one of them is an Erva, the other one is Pater as well and becomes Asur. Because she's a regular sister-in-law. Right? Once Yibum is off the table, she's considered a standard Erva sister-in-law. So that only applies in this type of case. B'makom mitzvah, when they're both married to a brother. So now to the surviving brother, they're both considered arayis. Even the tzara is a sister-in-law. And that's why she becomes an erva, and then she affects her tzara as well, all the way down the line. That's what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. But let's say it's a non-yibum situation. So you have Shimon, whose daughter is married to a total stranger. Let's call him Yehuda. This Yehuda has another wife, right? That other wife is not considered a tzaras erva, and if somehow in the future she presents herself as a potential Yibum candidate, potential Yavama to Shimon, somehow, she's mutter, she's not a tzaras erva, because she wasn't together with an erva in a Yibum circumstance. Right? So she's just a strange woman. She has no Isser of Tzara's Erva. This Tzara's Erva concept only applies because they both presented themselves as potential Yavamis in a Yibum context, meaning they were both married to his brother. And since the Erva is Pata from Yibum, the Tzara as well becomes Pata, and now she becomes an Erva because she's a plain, simple sister-in-law. That's what the Mishnah is trying to point out to us. It's not just that an Erva affects her Tzara. The Erva exempts her tzara, who now turns into a regular sister, and that's why she assumes the status of an Erva. Kiva de b'makom mitzvah asira tzara. The reason why the tzara is also because she was together with the Erva in a mitzvah circumstance, in a mitzvah context, in a Yibum context. They were both married to his brother. V'shalei b'makom mitzvah sharia. But if it's in a non-mitzvah context, she happens to be married to a stranger together with that Erva. Sharia. In the future, if she presents herself to you for Yibum to this Shimon brother, she's not a Tzara's Erva. Mishmachik Tani Poitris, that's what the Mishnah chooses, this Lashon. This precise Lashon. Chamesh Eshrei Noshim Poitris Tzara's same. I.e., in a Yibum context, meaning when Erva and fellow wife were married to a brother who passes away, not only is the Erva Pater or Aser, she exempts her tzara as well, who now turns into an erva because she's a regular sister-in-law going forward. She's not a Yivam. She's considered a regular sister-in-law. And she's an Erva. And that's why it carries on to the next one, to the next one, because the Tzaras Erva has now been renamed, retagged, has assumed an inherent shame Erva. This concept you can only derive from the Lashon HaMishnah, the way it was presented. Chamesh Esrei Nashim Poitrus Tzaras Erva, we're speaking about a case of Chiv Amtur, a case of Mitzvah, a case where the world buried to Shimon's brother. That's why this happens. Okay, that behind us, let's continue. What does the Mishnah have to trouble itself to go through both types of, both elements of the Mitzvah, Menachalitzim, Nayibim? Listen, Menayibim Chodei. Why can't the Mishnah just say she's Pata from Yibim? Itana Menayibim. If the Mishnah would only say that, have a minute, perhaps I would say Michlatz Chalza. Yivum Loi Miyabim, although Yibim she can't do, she's an Erva, she's a Tzara's Erva, but Chalitza she should do. Kamashmon, the Chiddush is no. There is no Chalitza as well. Why? Kolo Eilu LeYibum, Eilu LeChalitza. You see, Yibum and Chalitza are two sides of a coin. You want to address the Nifter in an appropriate way, carry on his marriage, take over his wife. It's either one or the other. Either Yibum or Chalitza. You can't have one without the other. That's the Chiddush HaMishnah. Although we want to do something. No. There's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza. Kolo Eilu LeYibum, any Isha who presents itself to Bezdin for Yibum, Eilu LeChalitza will do the same thing when it comes to Chalitza. Because she ain't Eilu LeYibum, if an Isha is not a candidate for Yibum, ain't Eilu LeChalitza, she's not a candidate for Chalitza as well. Let's go over to Rashi, five lines from the bottom. Six lines. V'lisnim in Yibum L'chodei. Why didn't the Mishnah just cite Yibum? The Ikar Mitzvah. That's the Ikar Mitzvah. That's the preferred route to take. V'chalitza milter mishtama. And once she's part from Yibum, you know, by default, that is a Ptur Chalitza as well. Why does Mishnah have to express them both? No, I would say, Hava mina michlas chalitza. Although there's no Yibum, but maybe Chalitza you should do. Shaloi lafki ha-mitzvah Yibum. You don't want to cancel mitzvah Yibum altogether. Al-val Yibum iloi, Mishnah Zeres ha-kasav l'litzrar. But okay, Yibum you can't do. We have a pasuk we're going to see soon. But Chalitza maybe, Kamashma, here comes the Chiddush, Ma'as nisen hoi l'patra bas. Mezikas Yibum, since the Erva, in this case, Shimon's daughter, affected the Tzara and took away the Zika Yibum, her commitment to Yibum. Peturim and Chalitza, she's exempt from all the mitzvahs from Chalitza as well. Because we follow this set formula. The color Oilo Lezikas Yibum, Oilo Lezikas Chalitza. If you're connected to Yibum, you're connected to Chalitza. V'chol she'ein Oilo Lezikas Yibum, Peturim and Chalitza. If you don't have Yibum, you don't have Chalitza. True, one is a chatchila, one is a diavad, but they're both two sides of the same coin. V'kalechad amrin acholetes, when we say abemes, mishma sveiko. Rashi asks, we do find elsewhere that there is a din chalitza without yibum. That's not standard, that's not the actual requirement. Generally speaking, where it's a suffix, not sure whether she's going to have yibum, whether she's allowed to have yibum, so we do chalitza to avoid any shaila, to cover all the bases, but in concept, this principle doesn't apply. There's no concept of chalitza without yibum. That's the Chiddush HaMishnah. Continues the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. Okay, so you want to tell me about both, yibum and chalitza. V'lisni mina yibum mina chalitza. Wouldn't it be better if we'd say yibum first? That's the preferred route. She's potter from yibum, and then say chalitza. Inami, or you can say mina chalitza l'chuda. Mishnah should just say she's potter from chalitza, which automatically means that she parted from Yibum as well. And says the Gemara, Abba Sholi, our Mishnah is following Shitas Abba Shol, the Amar Mitzvahs Chalitza Kodemes, the Mitzvahs Yibum. Abba Shol holds, in contrast to the Chachamim, who hold that one is meant to choose Yibum over Chalitza, that's the preferred route. That's the Lechatchila. Abba Shol holds differently. He holds that Mitzvahs Chalitza comes first. We're going to see in Rashi. Why? So that's what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. Chalitza is the first route, that's the preferred track. That's why the Mishnah mentioned both, and mentioned Chalitza first, to indicate that Chalitza comes first. So it's just a side point, which we learn right here. Let's go over to Rashi. Two lines from the bottom. Abba Sholi. Let's go back to three lines from the bottom. Nisni Yibum Bereisha. Right, back to the Kasha. Why isn't Yibum first? Because really, that's the Ikar, the Hu Ikar. If you don't want to be Miyabim, the Chalitza, they do Chalitza. What does that sound like? It sounds like Yibum comes first. Ha'im chafes liyavim yavim. Alma mitzvah sibim b'rish. And says the Gemara, no, Abba Sholi. He reverses it. Ha'ikachavitz. Abba Shol Eimer. Ha'koinis yivamte l'shem. Noi l'shem ishus. He holds that Yibum is no ordinary marriage. It's ish ha'iknu l'mer shamayim. A special opportunity to be miyabim ishus achiv. That has to be done with the proper intentions, with purity. L'shem shamayim. If there's any other interest or factor involved here, it throws it off. Hakonis yivamte l'shem noi, she's attractive, l'shem ishus, other interests, kilu pageh be'ervot, as though he's marrying a regular erva, sister-in-law. It has to be l'shem shamayim. The Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Beis says, the yivam is isha hiknu loy min ha-shamayim, it's a heavenly shidduch, heavenly marriage. V'korv be'inai liyas havlad mamzer. Hamashal says, I almost consider it like a mamzer. If we have a child born from a yivam which is not done with pure intentions. And therefore, Abishol holds, you know what? Don't take chances. Really, try for chalitza before yivam. And that's the point of our Mishnah as well. Chalitza uminayim. Okay, so we figured out the reason for these lashonis, which were chosen by the Mishnah. Now we have one more shaila. What about the numbers? We could just count them up. Why does the Mishnah have to say 15? And also at the end, the Mishnah says, Hari Elu, all these, which indicates that we're trying to exclude others, other types of situations, other types of Yivamis. Don't think they're included. No, they're excluded. They're not going to affect their tzaris. What do we have in mind? Minyana Dereisha, Lemut Imai, the number cited at the outside of the Mishnah. What are we trying to exclude? What are we taking out of the list? Minyana the Sefer Lemut Imai, and the Lashon Hari Elu, which denotes only these 15. We'll have this din of Poitras Tzirusin. What are we coming to exclude and to leave out? Lemote de Rav or de Ravasi. See, Rav holds that Etzoras Soita is also Asur, which means that if an Isha acted inappropriately and then she turns into a Yavama, she's Asur to the Yavam and it affects her Torah as well. That's Rav Shita. And Ravasi says that Eilonis, an Isha who cannot give birth, she has the same halacha. We're going to see that Bez Hashem later on in the Perek. So they hold that even these Nashim have this type of concept that they are potter and they affect their tzoras. So we don't hold to that. They don't belong in our list. Limutid Rav or the Ravasi. Okay, that works according to us, but according to them, meaning Rav and Ravasi, they consider these Nashim to be like any other Erva. So what does the Mishnah mean to exclude? Limutid Rav or the Ravasi? Limutid Mai. What does the Mishnah mean to include? Exclude? Answers the Gemara like this. Isvirlu the Hadadi. If Rav holds of Ravasi's case, that a Tzoras Eilonis is Ptura. And likewise, Ravasi holds of Rav, that a Tzoras Soita is Potter. Evidently, the Mishnah is now coming to exclude those. Okay, so we have to find other cases which we are trying to exclude. Chad L'muti Tzoras Ma'anis. So we have two exclusions in the Mishnah, right? We have the number at the beginning, 15 and no more. We have Hari Eilu, only these and no more. So one mute is L'muti Tzoras Ma'anis. Again, we're going to see this later on in the parak. Just briefly, we're speaking about a ketana who happens to be married to his brother who passed away without children. So she's potter from Yibim and her tzara as well. That's one potential case of tzara. V'chad l'muti tzara's machzor grushasa. Let's say Reuven, the parted brother, remarried his wife after having married somebody else, which is, of course, an isser. So she's not allowed to remarry. Once she remarries, that's machzor grushasa, and that's... She's considered like an erva. She may not go ahead and be misyabim by Shema now, and it affects her Torah as well. So that's perhaps a svara, that's perhaps a shita. No, the Mishnah is telling you, these nashim don't have this halacha. They don't affect their tzoras. So one meit is to be mayit mema'enes, and one is to be mayit masa grushose. V'lo yisvirlu da'adadi. Alternatively, if Rav and Ravasi don't hold of each other's halacha, then we have a much more simple answer to our question. You see, let's say if Rav holds that Tzoras Soita Asura, but he doesn't agree with Ravasi that Tzoras Eilonis is Asura. Likewise, Ravasi doesn't hold of Tzoras Soita Asura. They don't hold of each other. They hold only of their own case, not each other's. If that's the case, Chad L'Mutid Chavrei. So we have two miyutim in the Mishnah. One is going to exclude his colleague's case. That doesn't conform, that doesn't qualify as a tzara serva. V'chad l'mu'ute oitzaris ma'anis, oitzaris ma'asuk rishasai, and the other mi'ut in the Mishnah will apply to either one of these two cases, either the oitzaris ma'anis or the ma'asuk rishasai. They don't qualify, they don't belong in the Mishnah. One more kasha. L'rav l'rav asi l'sninu. According to Rav and Rav Asi, we have more cases which really belong on the list in the Mishnah. For instance, according to Rav Asi, Tzoras Soita is also. Why isn't that in the Mishnah? According to Rav Asi, Tzoras Ma'anis is also. Why isn't that in the Mishnah? You're right. It really belongs in the Mishnah. But there is one element that we find in the Mishnah that doesn't apply to them. Therefore, we didn't put it into the Mishnah. Because in both these cases, Soita and Islanus, sorry, Soita and Islanus. So in both these cases, we don't have Tzoras Tzora. Let's just refresh again. What does Tzoras Tzora mean? We have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven passes away, no children. He left behind two wives. Shimon, the surviving brother, is the Yavam. Now, let's say Reuven was married to a Saita, right? She's straight, she came back, he's really Aser to live with her. So she's a Saita. And the other wife, right? She's Rachel, the other wife, Leah, is now a Tzoras Saita. Now, the halacha here is that they're both Aser. According to Rav, that a Tzoras Soita is Aser. So they're both Aser on Shimon. Shimon may not marry either one. Not the Soita or the Tzoras Soita. Let's say Shimon doesn't marry. Okay. He follows the rules. There's another brother on the scene, Levi. Can he go ahead and marry Leah, the Tzoras Soita of Reuven? No. It's not just a personal Isser on Shimon. It's not his personal lover. There's something wrong here. She's a Soita, and that affects the Torah as well, for whatever reason. We're going to see later on the Perek. That's an all-encompassing Isser. It affects all the brothers equally. You see, it's very different than Tzoras Bitoy, because Bitoy is a personal Isser on Shimon. It's his daughter. Tzoras Bitoy is his daughter's Tzara. But let's say there's another brother on the scene. He can marry either one of these Nashim, Rachel or Leah, they have no relationship to him, other than being a sister-in-law, which is the Yavam, which is the Mutter. So in that case, if another brother comes along and is Miyavin, the Tzara of Shimon's daughter, that's fine. But now the other brother passes away, and he left behind two wives. One is the Tzara of Shimon's daughter, which is really a Tzara's Erevan Shimon, and another wife, together with that. They're both Aser on Shimon because it's a Tzoras Erev on him. This applies to all the Arayis in the Mishnah, which are personal to Shimon. The Tzora can go and marry a different brother, and then we're running into Tzoras Tzora, or Tzoras Tzora, Tzoras Tzora, as many steps as you take. That's because it's a personal Aser on Shimon. There's nothing holding back Levi or Yehuda from marrying those Nashim. That's how we can develop Tzoras Tzora, etc. But when it comes to a Soita, when it comes to Islanus, it's unrelated to Shimon. That's a concern that applies to all the brothers equally. And when Reuven passes away, leaving behind such a situation, nobody's allowed to practice, nobody's allowed to do Yibum here. So we never get to the point of Tzora, 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 Tzora. There's no Hemshel, there's no continuity here. It just stays as is. That's why the Mishnah didn't include it in the Mishnah. We're speaking about types of cases where it could expand and extend, as opposed to these two, which are limited and never end up being a Tzoras Tzora. Okay, let's get down to basics. The Mishnah tells us that the Erva doesn't have Yibum, and the Tzoras Erva as well. How do we know this to be true? The Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Braise, Isha l'achoyis l'sikach litzror l'galois ervosa aleha b'chaya. One is married to Rachel, he may not proceed to marry Rachel's sister Leah. Isha l'achoyis l'sikach litzror, to make them into tzoras, into joint wives, l'galois ervosa aleha b'chaya. Now the word aleha seems to be superfluous. Aleha matamud loyim, what's the point of saying that? To teach us a halacha for a yibum. Vishanema, we have a pasuk, Yevama yavei aleha. Shimon's brother Reuven dies childless. He's meant to be Miyabim, Reuven's wife. What if Reuven's wife happens to be Shimon's daughter? Perhaps even if Reuven is married to any of that arayus, Shimon should proceed and do yibum? No. Ne'amar kan aleha, because we have the word aleha over here, which means by the halacha of isha lachaisa. Ve'ne'amar lahalon aleha, and over there by the mitzvah of yibum, we have yavama yavay aleha, ma lahalon mokha mitzvah, just as over there, the word aleha relates to the concept of mitzvah, mitzvah yibum. Afkan v'mokha mitzvah, likewise the word aleha in the parsha of Arayis is referring to even a situation which pertains to mitzvah. Even if she's a yavama, you cannot marry her because she's a sister-in-law. V'amar achman alay sikach, don't marry. So achayis isha provides a source, the marker for the entire concept that we learned up until this point. If yavama happens to be also an erva, there is no yivam. V'ein li alahi, perhaps only the erva herself. Tzorasa minayin, what about the tzara? Tamalem lit tzorer. It affects the tzara as well. V'ein li alahi tzorasa, perhaps only the first tzara. Tzorasa minayin, what about the next level? Tzara. If that tzara married another brother, he had another wife. How do we know everything is affected? Tamalem lit tzorer of alay lotzer. It could have said lotzer. Lit tzorer is an extra couple letters for the drasha. Extends all the way down the line. Perhaps this only applies to a sister-in-law, achayis isha, which is the context of this pasuk. Sha'ar arayis minayim. What about other arayis? Shimon's daughter, his mother-in-law. Amris. We're going to apply the following formula. We can compare them to achayis isha. Ma achayis isha miyuchedes. What's unique? How do you characterize achayis isha? She erva, she's an erva. V'achayev and alzdoin nekaris. If there's an iser b'mezid, it brings about karis. V'al shegugas achatas, if it was done inadvertently, there's a chatas. V'asur le'yavam. We also know that she's asur to the yavam, as we just established. We're going to apply this formula to all the other arayis as well. Whoever fits this bill is asur. Af kol she erva, v'achayev and alzdoin nekaris. V'al shegugas achatas, any other arayah, erva as well, that has this, has all these elements, are asur le'yavam, she's asur le'yavam. Okay, now you've extended the Isra of Achayis Isha by Yibam to the other Arayis as well. So Bitoi, Yibam is Pater. Chamaisa is Pater. What about their Tzara? The Tzara of Bitoi. Ve'enli Elohein, perhaps it only applies to the Arayis themselves. So we're saying Minayin, what about the Tzara of the other Arayis? Amris, again we apply the same formula. Whatever fits the bill, whatever is comparable to Achayis Isha, will be connected to Achayis Isha, and the same halachas will apply there as well. Machayis Isha miyuchedes, just as the Achayis Isha is unique in a sense that what? She erva, she has all these elements. She's an erva, v'chayav, and alzdoine kuris, v'al shegos achatas, by mezid it's a kuris, by shegig it's a chatas, v'asur liyavam, she's also to the yavam, it's also asur, and affects her as well. Likewise, afkol, she erva, all the other rice as well, that have the element of erva, and v'chayav, and alzdoine kuris, v'al shegos achatas, have kuris and chatas, v'asur liyavam, and also have the isur liyavam themselves. Not just are they asur, tzoras asura, it affects their tzora as well. Mikan amr chachamim, this is the source of the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, that chomesh, esrei nashim, all the arayis, irrelevant of who they are, whether it's achayis isha, bitay, chamaisai, they're all poitri tzoresein, vetzore tzoresein, mina chalitza, mina yibum, ad seifai. Asks the Gemara, we're missing six arayis in the Mishnah. Mother. I mentioned the Mishnah. Why? Why not? Yochel shani marba av sheish arayis chamuris me'il sheyu tzoresei masuris. Perhaps we should say that even by those six arayis, there's a list of another six arayis mentioned in the next Mishnah that are considered chamuris me'il, the most strict than the 15 mentioned in our Mishnah. In which way are they more strict? Because they're really not meant to marry his brother either. You see, for example, Bitoi. Bitoi is Mutta to Reuven. Just because she's Shimon's daughter, she's still Mutta to Reuven. And so on and so forth. But let's say Shimon's mother. Is she Mutta to Reuven? They share a father. And she's not really Reuven's mother. She's Shimon's mother. No, she's also Reuven as well. You know why? Because it's Reuven's father's wife. It's just Aviv is Aser. So those six are all Aser and Reuven as well. What happens there? another tzara in the picture. Let's say his mother is married to somebody out there, and there's another tzara in the picture. There's another wife there. And that other wife, that other isha, proceeds to marry Reuven. Reuven passes away. Is she called the tzara's erva to Shimon? No. No, that's why it's not included in the Mishnah. Why not? Let's see. Yochel, Shani Marber, perhaps I'm going to add more. Av Sheish Arois, even those six that are Chamurish Meila more strict than the ones mentioned in the Mishnah. Shiutzer is saying Masuris. That their tzara should be Asur as well. Answer is no. Amris. You know why? Ma Achais Ishtoi. Because again, what's the source? What provides the precedent for this concept? Achais Ishtoi. So you have to take a look at Achais Ishtoi. Ma Achais Ishtoi Miyachedes. What's unique about her? What's contained therein? What elements does she have? She Erva. She's Asur on Shimon now, the Yavam. V'chayavon Azdoin a curse. Ashigas a Chattas. Right, there's curse and Chattas. Here comes the punchline. Ve'efsharli nosila achim. Shimon's daughter, Shimon's sister-in-law, Shimon's achayis isha, can get married to Reuven. There's no relationship to Reuven. Vasur liyavam. But now that Reuven passes away without children, his wife, who happens to be Shimon's sister-in-law, right, the achayis isha, his wife's sister, is also to him. Mitzuras asura, and therefore it extends to her Torah as well. Av kol shi erva. Likewise, all arayis that fit the bill, that fit this criteria, that are erva, v'chayev nazdein akuras, v'shigas achatas, v'ev shal nos l'achim. Again, this is the punchline. Who have the ability to marry Shimon's brother. They're mutter to his brother. V'asur liyavim. But they're asur to Shimon. So they're mutter to Reuven, but asur to Shimon. Tzuras asur. Then we say that if Reuven passes away, leaves her behind with another wife nearby, they're both asur. Why? As we explained several times, because when the erva is exempt from yibum, it affects the entire bais, entire household. The other wife is affected as well. And she's no longer considered a yivama. What then? She's an ordinary sister-in-law. She's his brother's wife, which is a regular erva. And that's why the tzara's erva is considered an erva by her own right, and she passes that on to the next tzara when she marries the next brother, etc. As opposed to these six women, for instance, Shimon's mother, may she get married to Reuven, with whom he shares a father? No. Although it's not really his mother, but it's his father's wife, which is an erva. She's not allowed to marry Reuven. So it never happens that Reuven should leave behind. Reuven should pass away, leaving behind Shimon's mother, together with another wife. It doesn't happen. He's not allowed to marry his mother. He doesn't have kedushin with. It's not effective. The marriage doesn't work. Yotzu Shesh Arayis Chamurish Me'il, and therefore, when it comes to these six Arayis, there's no Tzoros Erva there. You know why? Hoyle the Efshel and Nosil Acham, since they can't get married to any one of Shimon's brothers. Shimon's mother is off the table, off the scene, she's off limits to any of his brothers with whom he shares a father. So it will never happen, it will never occur that any of his brothers, for instance, Reuven, will pass away leaving behind his mother as a Yavama together with another wife. It doesn't happen. And therefore, Tzoros Erva Mutaris. There's no concept of tzara. We know why? She'ein tzara elameach. Tzara's erva is only applicable when she's a tzara, who her brother left behind. Why? So Rashi spells it out for us. Rashi's about 10-12 lines from the bottom. She'ein tzara elameach, says Rashi. You know why? Hoylu patra kosem is a kose. What's the basis for tzara's erva? Where does it come from? There's no new erva called tzara's erva. Rather, it's a very simple equation, very simple process that produces it. Because when the Torah takes off the zika, in this requirement for yibum, she reverts to an ordinary sister-in-law. Right, Reuven, Shimon's brother, Reuven left behind this isha. She's a sister-in-law. She's an erva. She had a kid. She's also. She has no children. Oh, she's a yivama. But once the Torah takes off, deletes that Yivama label from her, she's pata from Yivam because she's a Tzara's Erva. She gets back to the regular Isha Sach. She bekaris. Tachsiv ervas eishas achicha. Torah says, don't marry the wife of your brother. So unless she's childless, you can't marry her. She's a simple erva, ordinary erva. So that's the mechanics behind the concept of Torah's erva. But typically, if she's not married to his brother, so Shimon's mother is married to a stranger who happens to have another wife nearby, and that other wife leaves that man and marries Reuven, Shimon's brother. There's no problem there. She's not a tzaras erva. She's a stranger. So Reuven passes away without children. She's an ishas ach that has no children, which is mutter. So again, briefly, the Gemara wanted to suggest that perhaps the concept of tur for tzara, the concept of tzara's erva, applies not only to 15 but to the other arayis as well. For instance, Shimon's mother. But the tzara of Shimon's mother should have a din of tzara's erva. And the answer is no. There's no din tzara's erva. Tzara's erva is just another way of saying a sister-in-law who may not be married. A sister-in-law who you may not marry. A sister-in-law without the context of Yibam, with justified marriage. That only happens in one circumstance. If the erva, in this case Shimon's erva, for instance Shimon's daughter, happens to be married to his brother with another wife nearby. Just as Bito is potter, Rachel is potter, Leah is also potter. Now she doesn't have din of Yibam, so what happens? She reverts to the status of an ordinary Eishas Ach, a wife of his brother. That's why she's an erva, because of that reason. Not because she's a tzaras erva. The fact that she's a fellow wife with an erva, that takes away yibum, as we explained, because once yibum doesn't apply to one, doesn't apply to the other one. So now once she's no longer yivama, she's an ordinary sister-in-law, the wife of his brother, which is an erva. But in the other cases, imai, this wouldn't apply, because she'll never get married to his brother. Imai can't be married to Reuven. Although it's not his personal mother, it's his father's wife, she's also asked. So it will never happen that Imai will generate a tzaras erva within the context of Yibam, because she's never a Yibam candidate. Continues the Gemara. Azhara Shaman. Okay, you've told me the Azhara. We found a warning in the Torah. Don't be miyabim an erva. Don't be miyabim a tzaras erva. Oynish minayim. What about a punishment? Amakro ki kol asher yasim mikol te'evas eil. Torah says, whoever commits any of these te'evas, any of these arayas, it generates the onus of Koros and Chatos by Shegek. So all included. Says the Gemara. Here comes something interesting. Tama the Kasav Rachmana Aleha. It's pretty clear that if not for the drush of Aleha, I would think that even an Erva is deserving of Yibam. Holam hochi, if not for the pasuk, Havamina would say, Achois isha mitzvah bemes. An erva gets yibum. Why? She's an erva. My time, and why? The Abrinan osi asay, v'dochi lois asay. I would say the essay of yibum, the positive commandment that prompts me to do yibum, will override the isur of Achois isha. Ramban says, essay is the positive energy connecting to Hashem. It comes from Avas Hashem. Loisa says, you're a fear. I don't want to disconnect. There's something wrong. It's based on the element of fear. Avas, says Ramban in Parshas Vayistra, is more powerful. Love is more powerful than fear. So essay is going to be stronger than the Loisa say. Is that what you mean to say? So if not for this pasuk, I would say, Yibum overrides the Isra of Erva of Achais Isha. Eimur da amrinan asi esse v'deich lois asse. When do we say that esse overrides an lois asse? Lois asse greater when it's just a plain lois asse. But here it's different. Lois asse sheish by kares midachi. Where do you find that an esse can override a lois asse that contains kares? It's way more severe. So why would I even think? Why would I even entertain the thought that yibum should override isav achayis isha? Now let's just stop for a second. Of course we know that yibum overrides the Isser of Eishas Achiv, right? As we just explained over and over, every Yivama really is a Eishas Achiv, meaning she's the wife of his brother. But the Torah clearly says, go ahead with that. It's not Esed Lechol. The whole parsha of Yibum. That's not up for discussion. But here, we have another element to play with, to work with as well. On top of being a Eishes Achav, the wife of his brother, she's also sister of his wife, Achayis Ishta, a daughter, etc. Why would I even think that Yibum overrides that? To Loisa, the Sheish Bekaris. Vesu, in addition, number two, who even told you? Loisa say, greater Mulal Nadachi. How do you even know that an essay overrides a Loisa essay? Okay, to be continued, Vez Hashem tomorrow. Okay, let's do a quick, brief chazara. The Seder HaMishnah follows the concept of Karev, Karev, Kaidim. We start with the closest relatives and proceed further away. Karev, Karev, Kaidim. We start with the offspring and then go to the other arayas. Why does the Mishnah say Poitres Tzoraseim Nachalitzim Nayibim? So we concluded the word Poitres is telling you that this concept of Tzor only applies with Makkah Mitzvah when they're both married to a brother. As we explained, the whole concept of Tzor is based on the fact that they're both sister-in-laws. So that's the point of Poitres. It's in a Mitzvah context. Why does the Mishnah mention Menachalitzim Dem Nayibim? To tell you that Chalitzim is preferred over Yibum, or following Abashol. You have to be careful how to do Yibum. Therefore, we advise you to do Chalitza first. The number, the minion of the Mishnah is coming to exclude certain items, whether Soitam, Ma'enes, Islandes, Master Grishel, say they don't have the, they don't qualify, they don't belong in our Mishnah, because they don't have the same halachas of our Mishnah. We have the Pasuk Ba'achas Isha, which reads, Lo Yisikach, Litzra, Legalis, Arvasa. We learn from there that even B'makam Yibum, Alea tells you even B'makam Yibum, an Erva is off limits. From the word Litzra, we learn that affects the Tzora and the Tzora's Tzora as well. And concluded, of course, is the Tzora is only when they're in the context, they're both in the context of Yibum, and the Tzora will now be relabeled, renamed regular as a regular Erva, Eishes Achiv, in which case she can pass on that Issa to her Tzora, and that's the rationale behind Tzora's Tzora, etc., etc. We ended with the kasha. Why would you need a pasuk? An erva is not a yibum candidate. Erva is a leis asay. Why would I say that yibum overrides that? And we'll continue bezus Hashem tomorrow. All the best to you, much hatzlacha.